and his sister Esther, and even JJ, they have been a blessing to us. Every single moment they could be back there, you know, helping Sister Lorraine with the sound, or Nathan is playing the instruments here. I mean, there are so many places they could have gone. But thank you so much, Dad, even for giving us your children, you know, for them to lead us in worship. They have taken us to levels, I mean, and I don't even know what to say. Thank you so much, even for bringing them up in discipline. And so many children, I've witnessed so many children, especially in this country, after they grow up to a certain level, they don't want to come to church or they don't want to serve. But I see diligence. They are not with you every single Sunday, but Israel brings them, and you can see the eagerness and the readiness to serve the Lord. I believe it's just because of prayer and the way you've brought them up in the ways of the Lord. And so we honor you and we salute you for the good job done. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is indeed, as all of you know, it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Amen. I know when it comes, I was reading an article just a few days ago about fathers, and it's kind of like a mixed emotion when we come to Father's Day, because not everybody had a very good relationship with their father, or an upbringing whereby the father was supposed, even as the man of God just told us, took their positions the way they were supposed to have taken them. And I know when it comes to, it's easier, I think it is easier to celebrate Mother's Day than it is to celebrate Father's Day, right? In fact, you know, Mother's Day has been so much commercialized, and there is excitement. You know, we are ready to go and buy gifts for our mothers, and we are ready to line them up. We call them. And you know, it's just a joy when we celebrate our mothers, because there's something about a mother and a child that is so much connected together. You know, you reared, you carry that baby 9 months in your womb. You develop a relationship like no other on this earth. Amen. And even when that child goes out of the way, the mother is still there. I mean, I have memories of when, you know, back in the day when I was a young kid, I would mess around, and just like most of you, I would be called, and there would be a special room where it would be locked, and you'd be, you know, what went on there, you know, and there was a switch, and we would cry, and I mean, it would almost feel like your mother is neglecting you. But even after that discipline was really installed in, you know, after your mother would instill discipline upon you, you still come around her and actually maybe hang on her dress, and you still love on them. There is a special relationship that exists between a child and a mother. But when we come to this, to the Father's Day, it is kind of a mixed emotions, and I understand. Amen? It would be okay for us to not know really what to do. I was reading an article, I was telling you, about 80% really wonder what to write during Father's Day, what to write to their dads, or what they can remember, or what they can really, you know, what memory they have about a relationship that they had with their daddy. About 20% of all the fathers actually get worried what messages they are going to receive from their children. and that is actually fascinating statistics. I understand some of us may be celebrating the memories of their father who are already passed on. Some of us may be having their dads who are still alive, and you have very, very fond memories of a relationship that you had with them. And some of us maybe don't even want to remember anything that, you know, that anything about a relationship that you had with your father. Some of us had an absentee father who was never there and never took to their position and never carried their own responsibilities. And some of us have very fond memories and things, a word or an action or a deed that we picked up from our parents, and then it has carried you on up till this moment. Praise be to God. However, or whatever a relationship you had with your father, whether you had a good relationship or whether you didn't have a good relationship, it is honorable to honor somebody that is called a father. Praise be to God. Amen. I remember the words of the preacher who was here last Sunday, and he was telling us how we have to invoke the blessings of our forefathers, the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Jacob, the blessings of Isaac, even though a person like Jacob, when we look at who he was, he doesn't really qualify, or it's a person that you wouldn't like to be connected with. And so he was admonishing us that regardless of who he was, regardless of the cunning spirit that he carried, yet God wants us to invoke his presence even while we pray. Amen? And so just as we were admonished last Sunday, I don't care what kind of a relationship you had with your daddy or whether you didn't have a daddy at all, and it might be too late for right now maybe to identify with somebody who actually was your daddy, but I think it is fitting and it is a godly thing for us to look for a father figure who we can honor, a father figure who we can salute and say, you are my daddy. Praise be to God. A few things I have here written today concerning our father. Actually, I was really interested to know how our Father's Day came about. And it is started in 1909, initiated by a person called Sonoras Smart Dodd, a young person in Spokane, Washington, and was listening to a Mother's Day sermon. It is started in a church. Somebody say, it is started in a church. Yeah, he was listening to a Mother's Day sermon in a church, and Sonora's mother had died in childbirth, and her father, who was Henry Jackson Smart, a Civil War veteran and a farmer, was raising Sonora and her five siblings as a single parent. Sonora decided then and there to celebrate a special day to honor her father, who had completely dedicated his life even to serve his children. And so she raised up this idea, and it went through the presidents in Congress, and finally it was ratified permanently for us to celebrate Father's Day. Praise be to God. When our God, the most holy God, who is our Father, he couldn't have chosen any other better word, any better holy word other than Father. Amen? And when we come to him, we call him even as Nathan's dad was telling us, we are able to call him Abba, Father. Amen. And he is able to call us, he regards us as sons. Praise be to God. And the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, to all those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, and the plan of salvation, to them he has given power to become sons of God. Amen? Today, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been given an authority and a senior position to be called a son of the kingdom of God. And God has now become your father. And you can go to your father any moment and give him your grievances or put across your petitions, and he will accept him as a father. Praise be to God. Today, I want to encourage you that you may not have had a good relationship with your father, your earthly father, who is supposed actually to set an example of how a relationship between us and our God ought to be. But today, God accepts us the way we were, regardless of whether we rejected his plan of salvation. When we have come to him, he accepts us the way we are, and he calls us sons. Praise be to God. And he is able to deal with us on a father-son relationship. He is able to grant us whatever our desires are because he is our father. And so he sets a good example for all of us of what a relationship between our father ought to be. Today, I want to tell you this, that you may not have had a good relationship with your daddy. You may not even have, you may not even be able to recall a good thing or any good deed that your dad ever did to you. But it is honorable to honor your father. And there are certain things that we can honor our father. You remember, you know what? The things that you really, really desired to have had in that home.
the things that you really, really desired for your father to have taken over as a father in that home, if they were not present in your home today, you can have them in your home as a way of honoring your father. Praise be to God. When I remember my relationship with my dad, I have very, very fond memories of some good things that happened. And I also have some very, very bad memories of things that took place just because of my daddy. But you know what? I cannot in a wholesale blame my dad. What I try to do now is the things that I expected to be taking place in my home and they were not present, I try to adjudicate or do those things in my family. And in doing so, I honor my father. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I went through, I researched some of the things that, some funny, fun things that, fathers say, and I don't know whether this is common. And I'd like to read you a few of the things that maybe, I don't know whether you heard these things or you hear these things. Maybe for some of us who are older, you may not have heard some of these things that I'm just about to read to you about what it is called actually the father's world. Listen to this. This was written to somebody in a humorous way, and it was entitled, The World According to Dad. Are you ready to listen to this? Okay. These are words that most dads have said at some time or another to their children. I don't know whether you have said these words. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Do you know when you... Has that ever taken place in your life or in your home? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. A father can also say, quiet, I'm watching the baseball game. Don't forget to check the oil and the coolant. A father may say, bring back all the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. I think this one I've heard from my father, by the way. I would ask my father a question and he would say, how should I know? You go and ask your mother. I am not made out of money. Well, I don't know whether this one you've heard from your home. You typed it. Maybe wives have heard this from their husbands. When I was your age, I think I've told this to my son. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day. And it was uphill both ways. How many of you know that is a lie? You know, the kids in America have, can you imagine they are brought, the bus comes to pick them, you know? They do extremely no chores. For some of you Americans, you know, I see we have some people who are from here. Back at home, we don't have any school buses. Buses are used for public transportation. And here kids are picked up, you know, just by the door. You know, by school buses, taken to school. They actually have lunch at school. Did you ever have lunch in school? Unless maize and beans that was never actually mixed up together and was actually wrapped in a Walmart paper bag or something like that. Oh, this is good. You are going and you will have fun. When kids say they are not going anywhere, the father commands, you are going and you are going to have fun. Who is paying the bills around here anyway? I feel like who has said this in their home? If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Okay. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. But on the second thought, you go ahead. Praise God. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think? Why? Because I said so. If you don't quit what you're doing, then I'm going to call your mother. You better get that junk picked up before your mother comes in here. Just wait till you have kids of your own. I think that one is very, very common, eh? When you're trying to deal with your kids and they don't even have any vaguest idea what you go through and they think everything is easy, you tell them, just wait until you have your own kids. I was not asleep, I was just resting my eyes. And this was the award winner. Where is the remote? Brethren, I suppose you who are fathers could probably add a couple of quotes to this list. Anyway, it's just a fun thing of things that happen, you know, at home, and it's just interesting to see that this is has taken a commonality among things that happen at home. There's somebody who said this: parents spend the first part of a child's life urging them to talk and walk, and the rest of his childhood telling him to sit down and keep quiet. This was very funny. You remember when you had a little child, you're trying to hold the baby to walk, eh? And you're so fascinated when they begin to talk. But when they learn to do so, you tell them, keep quiet and sit down, because they are walking everywhere. Praise be to God. Now, there are certain things, there are three things that I would like us to briefly check on, and then we'll be out of here, about what we ought to be thankful about our parents. Number one, we ought to be thankful to our parents, to our fathers, because we ought to be thankful for provision. Somebody say provision. Number two, we ought to be thankful for their faithful instruction to us. And number three, we ought to be thankful to our dads for providing a godly model. Praise be to God. Let us turn into our Bibles in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 8. And I will read. If you're there, can you say amen? But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than unbeliever. Hallelujah. That is a powerful, powerful statement. That a father who does not provide for his own, who are his own? His immediate family, his wife, his children. A father who does not provide for his own children or his relatives, there it says relatives, but I believe it is immediate family members. If you are a father and you do not provide for your immediate relatives or immediate family members, you are worse than unbeliever. My goodness, that is a very strong statement. Who can be worse than an unbeliever? An unbeliever know the message as well. Unbelievers also provide for their families. Praise be to God. They may have never come to the knowledge of this scripture, or they would have never been admonished through the Bible, yet they are able to provide for their families. But the Bible is admonishing us, we who have come to the knowledge of Christ, we who have known what the role of a father is, we who have known the responsibilities of becoming a father, especially a father who has known the Lord and does not provide for his family, he is worse than an unbeliever. Therefore, the number one responsibility that I believe that the Lord has given to every father is to provide for his family. Can all the men say amen? The number one responsibility that the Lord has given to us, number one, I believe, it is to provide for our family. And when I'm talking about providing for our family, I know what it is in your mind. It is going to work and bringing home a check every week and laying it on the table so that the children, your wife or their mother can go to the grocery store, buy the groceries, buy the food, buy the clothes, pay for the shelter, and that way you have qualified to have provided for your family. I remember many years ago when I was a child, and these are some of the fond memories that now that I am grown, I wonder how my dad was able to make it. My father was a school teacher, and some of you who have come from the countries that we come from in Africa, they don't pay a lot of money to school teachers. Actually, he was a principal. They call them, he was a headmaster, you know, for that sake. But, you know, headmaster was just a title. There was not so much money that they were paid, you know, by the Teacher Service Commission. He was an elementary school teacher. And what amazes me today is I had six siblings. You know, what amazes me today is how my dad was able to pay school fees for each one of us. And he would, I cannot remember any one time that I went to high school, or I went to I was in a boarding school, and my father failed to pay for my school fees or give me pocket money. And every single one time I remember, my dad used to ask me, "Are you broke? Do you need something?" And he would probably give me 20 shilling bill, or he would buy me some certain things. I honor my dad today because he was able, even in the extreme position in which he was, able to provide for each one of us. Praise be to God. And I cannot remember that my dad at that time was not even born again, but he carried that responsibility. My mother never went, was not working at the moment, but he provided for us. We may not have had, I remember some of the times, you know, I remember I had some friends whose dads were well up, and they were, you know, they had nice clothes, and they had a nice car, and they had everything going out for them. And actually, these kids were my friends. And when we would go out on them, I would really, really be embarrassed, because I never had the nicest of clothes. In fact, I remember when the jeans, you know, the jeans clothes we used to have, you'd buy jeans that when you wash, they would shrink. I don't know whether you remember those some kinds of jeans, you know. I don't know where it was made from, but I remember my dad, and actually it was cheap. Very, very cheap. And I remember my dad, we were the three of us, my sister and my brother then. And both of us were bought those jeans. And the first time we washed them, actually my pants came out to here. And the hands, you know, they had a jacket, and my jacket came here. You know what my dad told me? My dad told me, "Oh, what we can do, we can go and ahead and take a pair of scissors and cut it. It will be a new style." And so we cut it, and so my mom had to hem it all around. And I was proudly going to church with that, you know, that thing. So nice, because that is all that we could have afforded. I don't remember if, in fact, I can't even remember whether I had shoes. You know, I had some butter bullets. And I wore those butter bullets for a long, long time, even when they had holes. But, you know, even in all that, even in my younghood, I mean, in my youngster years, I recognized that my father was really working so hard. Amen. So it is good for us to remember the things that our parents did. If he ever provided for you, if there was a shelter in your home, that is something enough to honor our parents for what they did. Amen. I know some of you have very fond memories of what your dad did. You know, he took you to school, and that's why maybe for a certain reason you are in this country, because probably you would never have qualified to go to where you went unless your dad was able to pay school fees for you. So it is a godly thing for us to supply and to provide for our families. Praise be to God. Now, there are certain things I was telling you, I know what comes into your mind. We only think about financial, but a dad's position is so much valuable in a home, in that the provision is not only limited to finances. Praise be to God. What are some of these things that a dad is supposed to provide in the home? And do you have certain examples of certain things that you really, really cherish that your dad provided? Was there affection? A dad is supposed to provide affection. Praise the Lord. Love. We are supposed to provide. You're supposed to love our wives with the whole of our hearts, just as Christ loved the church. When our children see us as fathers loving our wives, guess what? They're able to take on a model of how life is supposed to be, especially when they grow up and they are able to bring up families. They're able to reflect back on what they saw. They saw their parents doing, and so you find fathers who are loving to their wives just because there was so much love, and the father provided affection in that home. I know this is not really, it may not really have happened to everybody in our homes, but there could be something that your father provided for. There could be setting a good example. You know, your dad set a good example. He was a hard worker. I remember my dad was a hard worker, always waking up very early at 6 in the morning, going to the office, and he would try some businesses here and there. Sometimes we would actually, let me tell you, we struggled. Sometimes my dad had so many loans that he had taken so that we would go to school sometimes. And I remember, you will not even believe this, my dad would tell me, go into the classrooms, look for a table that looks so weak, we can break it and it will become your bed. And actually we did it. I remember hauling into our home a table that, you know, my dad had instructed me to go and, you know, check out in one of the classrooms. We broke it and we brought it home and we slept on it on a almost 1-inch mattress for many, many years. You know? But my dad wanted to provide for us. I honor him for that. Amen? Later, as he tried to do other businesses, our lives became better. And so I learned a lot of things from my dad in terms of sacrifice. That sometimes you have to sacrifice your life for now for a better tomorrow. That is something that I took over my dad. And he was a hard worker. And I took that from my dad. There are some certain things that you took. If there was anything that you picked up from your dad that is good, practice it. Because once you practice it, you're not only doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for your children. When your children grow up, they will remember the things that they saw you do, and they will remember very, very clearly. And sometimes when we do these things, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't seem like our children are picking up. It might be maybe kind to people. And it might be maybe the way you present yourself. It might be the way you talk to them. If you are used to calling your children all kinds of names, you know, like especially animal names, and when they are said in our vernacular language, it looks very bad, you know. If you call your children those names, guess what? They will develop that mentality even when they grow up. Oh, my dad used to call me such and such four-legged animal. And so let us learn to speak nice things and positive things to our children. Let us speak into their lives. And let me tell you, being a parent is a learning process. Sometimes we don't even know what to do at every situation because situations are different. It could be maybe you're dealing with a teenager. You know, dealing with a teenager, when you remember what your dad did to you when you're young, and when you went against the rules, you know what your dad did to you? He would just haul slaps on you haphazardly. And there's a tendency to take on what you saw your dad to you and rain on your child. But that's not the right way. Sometimes it's good to read books and also to read from other people how we ought to execute discipline. Praise be to God. I remember this one thing. My dad was a smoker, and I think my dad used to be very, very stressed many times because of his schoolwork. And my dad just sent me out to look for a cigarette butt. You know, long time ago, people used to smoke, and they would maybe smoke a quarter, and then, you know, they would put it aside maybe for a rainy day. And so my dad told me, okay, Tony, go look for a piece of cigarette. I'm really thirsty. Well, I don't know. To use thirsty or whatever. I really have that, you know, I really need to smoke a cigarette. And I looked everywhere and I couldn't find none. And let me tell you, I remember it to this very day. The way my dad executed, the way my dad dealt with me just because of not finding a piece of cigarette, I still remember it to this day. I'm over 40 years old now. My dad slapped me so hard. He slapped me so hard on the face. I saw, you know the things that you see moving, like, they're called stars, yeah. I saw stars moving, and I'll never forget. And I wondered, why did my dad slap me so hard just because of not finding a piece of cigarette, you know? And today, let me tell you, I know I get angry sometimes with my boy, and I get angry with my daughter. But when I remember what my dad did to me, I really restrain myself. I don't want to really act in anger because I don't want them to remember the stars that if I slap them, they might see stars that they will never forget. I see those stars sometimes even today. Praise be to God. I don't know whether you have fond memories or bad memories with your dad or something maybe he did to you that even to this day you remember. But you can undo those things in order to honor your father. Praise be to God. Amen. So, is provision limited to financial help and financial assistance or, you know, provision in the home, but you also can provide godly counsel. We can provide laughter and warmth. We can provide loving concern. What do you remember about a provision that your daddy gave to you or to your siblings? What fond memories can you remember? Or right now, what provisions are you providing for your children? They might need emotional support. They might need support emotionally or encouragement. They might need just somebody to laugh with. There's somebody who is genuinely providing that laughter and warmth. Huh? You might set a good example, set a good example to be a model for those children so that when they grow up, they will remember the good things that happened between them and yourself so that they will also execute those things even in their relationship. Praise be to God. So number one, we ought, according to 1 Timothy, Paul admonishing, writing this letter, Timothy wrote this letter and it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied his faith and worse than an unbeliever. I would really, really, really feel so bad if I would hear that somebody is, I normally feel so grieved in my heart to see somebody who is so committed to other things and he neglects the very number one responsibility that the Lord has given us, and that is to provide for his family. Praise be to God. The relationship with our God comes number one. Praise be to God. And then comes your family. Family is number two. And then the relationship with these other things, including service in the church here. If you come here, you want to provide all your energies and sweeping all the place up here and everything looks good and you have neglected your family, you have neglected the order of God. The order of God is number one, have a relationship, a clear, conscious relationship with your Father. So that every morning, anybody coming to you can ask you, how is your relationship with your Father? And you can be able to explain it. You are able to display it openly without any fear or any intimidation. I know that I'm born again. I know I have a relationship with my Father. And number two, we ought to really have a good relationship. Spend time with our family. Spend time with our children. I know in this culture, you know, we are so busy. And let me tell you, so many parents in this country have abdicated their duties. You know, children are reared by TVs and all kinds of shows, all kinds of soap operas that are on the TV. It is not meant to be that way, children of God. You know, let us set a schedule whereby at least if we are all working, mom and dad, to have an opportunity whereby at least sometime during the week, we have a special moment with those children. Because let me tell you, their lives depends on us. You know, we can dedicate the children to in a church and just send them to Sunday school, or we can even send them to school and expect that their teachers will be able to instill discipline on them. But let me tell you, the number one person who has the responsibility of your child is you, the father, you, the mother. You know, nobody will love your children the way you would. Amen. You know, I can hug them. I can hug your child. And genuinely, I have love. I can have love for your child. But the most unique love that child would ever get is from you, the father or the mother. You know, they can trust you. They can trust many people, but they will trust you more because you are the parent. Praise be to God. So let us create, even in the situation in which we are, whereby we have to go to work to provide for them, let us also know that provision is not only limited to financial provision, that there are other things that we ought to provide for our children. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Okay, number two, we ought to be thankful to our daddies for setting faithful instructions. Let us go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4. If somebody found it, can you read it for us, please? Ephesians chapter number is just up. It's the book after Galatians. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 4. Somebody read it. Amen. Fathers, this is what one of the translations says. Listen carefully. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Another translation says, parents, Do not be hard on your children. Raise them properly. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. And Living Bible says, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves. Fathers do instruct their children about many things. And like many parents, I'm sure, fathers do instruct their children about many things. Let me tell you, I've fallen a victim of this many, many times. And you know, especially if you're a perfectionist parent, you know, you expect 100% or more from your children. Praise be to God. I found this, I've fallen victim of this. And let me tell you, I'm still learning. The Lord is still training me to be a better father. What a better prayer that you can pray every single moment. Lord, teach me to be a better father. Teach me to be a better daddy. Teach me to be a better whoever God has made you to be. Because we are not really all-rounded in what we are supposed to be. I found my son maybe doing things wrong, you know, wrongful things, or doing something that he is not supposed to do. And many times, for a long time, I would really point out on the wrong things that you would do. Hey, Ron, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to do the other. You're supposed to do, you know. In other words, my conversation was with him many, many times until the Lord started change, you know, working on me, was like 80% on the negative. Why did you not do this thing? Why did you not do the other thing? And you know what I realized? That I'm also not perfect before my Father. There are so many things that I tell my God that I'm going to do. I promise him, okay, you know, Lord, from this week, I'm even going to pray every single day faithfully. And you know what? I realize that sometimes I break that promise. I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm gonna study the word. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do the other for you. I'm gonna do this outreach. And many times I find myself breaking. And therefore I realize that if I can break those promises before my Father, then my son also would be okay for me to give him a break. Praise be to God. And let me tell you, there was so much resentment every single moment or every single time. My relationship with my father, with my son, was kind of like, oh, my dad is just here. I don't know what's the next negative thing he's going to point on. Let me tell you, church, the amazing thing was, immediately I started concentrating on the positives of what my son used to do, our relationship changed. And it was on purpose. And it wasn't that he was doing everything perfect. Sometimes he was disorganized. Sometimes he was doing things that I never expected him to do. But at the moment I started pointing out the positives and encouraging him, all of a sudden things changed. And actually he started working even better. He started getting even better grades in school. It was amazing. It is amazing as human beings how much when we are encouraged or we are admonished or we are told that, you know what, you can do better, how much farther we can go. We can go even many extra miles when we are just urged to go on or encouraged, or we are just showered with positive things even in the midst of negativity. It's amazing. It is how we are wired by our Father God. I strongly believe that our God created us in a unique way, and he knew that there would be flaws. No wonder Jesus came down here on earth and put on a body like us, you know? And when he ascended up in heaven, you know, the Bible says that, you know what? He understands our weaknesses. And therefore, he intercedes for us from a position of understanding. Amen? The Lord never condemns anybody. He knows what we are made of. He knows that we have just been rescued by grace. That if in the absence of grace, we would do all kind of manner of things. But just because of his grace, just because of his mercy, we are accepted into the beloved. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, if you take a self-inventory about your life, if you take a self-inventory about the things that you've done, you'd realize that you're very far from perfection. Amen? And yet, you know, as parents, many times there's a natural tendency to really push it, you know, push the envelope on our children. I want you to do this. You need to start. Why have you not started your homework? Why have you been late? How many times have you been late yourself? You said you're going to be at work at a certain day, you know, a certain time, or there was a certain meeting you're supposed to attend. You know what? Never, never, never. You are never on time. Yet we want to push our children to a certain limit whereby they are so much condensed and they feel threatened. They feel like, oh, by the way, do you know their parents whereby when the father showed up, every child in that home disappeared? They went to the kitchen. And in Africa, you know, we used to have a kitchen outside so that when they knew the father has come, none of the children would be found around the father because of scolding them, because of the words, the sharp words. Many times your father just had to speak one word or just look at you and you'd receive a whole message. Your father would just look at you like this. And you know what? You just take a few steps back and you just disappear and you go. And never to be seen again until maybe your father. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know? But yet there are homes, you know, you long. Oh my goodness. When is my daddy? I would like to have a home whereby my children will be yearning. Where is daddy going to come? Daddy, we have been waiting for you. Because when I'm in their midst, I'm just sharing them with encouragement. I'm sharing them with love. I am telling them, I know what you're going through. I have made mistakes before, and so it is well. Amen? It is well. Don't worry about it. Even if you fail that exam, it is okay. That's not the end of the world. You're still going to make it. Come on, let us learn to be encouragers. Excuse me. Do not exasperate our children. Praise be to God. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. There are so many things that we can learn, especially if you came from a background whereby your daddy. I've talked to a few young men here, and I've talked to, especially if your father is no longer living, but I've talked with people, and you can tell a connection that was so strong. And they say, oh, you know, when my dad was this, he would do this for me. He would do the other thing for me. And let me tell you, it is a wonderful thing when we shower our children with love. It is a wonderful, it is kind of like a seal, an imprint that you put on their lives that will never, ever disappear. Amen? It will be a point of reference even when they are old. I remember many times my dad would pick me up. He had a literal, you know, car, you know, that, you know, we call, you know, like a small automobile. It was not really a perfect automobile because it actually made a lot of noise. Everybody knew the headmaster had come in when that car pulled in the school compound. It was, hey, Hedi, ndiule, Hedi ameingia. Because actually his car was, oh, papa, you know, the backfiring. But, you know, I still loved what my dad did to me. Even in that old car, he would come and tell me, oh, Tony, I want you, come, son. He would get into the car. And he would go, he would drive me to a nearby butchery. He would have, he would go order some meat, and he would bring the meat and we would eat with him. Can you imagine? Me and my dad only. And I remember very well. And he would come home and he would tell me, when you go home, don't tell everybody what we did. I think I was a favorite of my dad. And I never actually told anybody what we did. And he did that every single, and many times he did that. You know, after school, he'd tell me, come, let's go. And we'll go, even the backfiring and everything, pack in a butchery, order some meat, and we'll eat with him. And we'll drive back home. I still remember that. That is time that was spent with me. I still remember one day my dad was, I was really struggling with writing composition. We call them essays here. We used to call them composition. And I remember my dad was teaching me how to use idioms and nouns because I didn't even know what they were. And I remember sometime my dad told me this, when you write your essay in your CPA examination, write this, call me elastic if you choose, but I'm a man of my own integrity. I still remember those words. At that time, I didn't know even what it meant. But he was wanting his son to look so intellectual and, you know, like a person who knows. He told me that. I don't even today, Julius, I don't know what elastic is. But tell me, write something like this, like a phrase. Call me elastic if you choose, but I'm a man of my own integrity. 40 years, I still remember those words, you know? And therefore, sometimes when I'm even spending time with my daughter, maybe trying to help her with homework, I may not really tell them to be elastic, but I know they will remember one day. They will have a point of reference to remember what you do. Time spent with your children, it could be in a park, it could be in a pool, You know, where you hold them if they don't know how to swim, they will never forget that. Create those times with them. Amen? Our times here on earth are so limited. We don't know how long we are going to live. You know, we might be no more tomorrow, but they will. Those memories will linger with them. Praise be to God. Let us not exasperate them. Let us encourage them. They may not be perfect. God has never called anybody who is perfect. Let us encourage them. Amen? Even when they do, they go against everything that you said not to do. You know, and when you look at the list, everything has not been done. Tell them, I love you, kids. You're my babies. Praise be to God. Are you getting blessed? Number three and the final one. I think we almost, our time is up. Now, listen to this story before I go to the third one. Listen to this story. it is by Boyce Moulton. This is what he said after his father passed away. Note that he could not say anything while his father was alive. But this is what he said after the father passed away. More memorable than my household responsibilities were the endless streams of corrections which came my way. My father never stopped correcting me. Just a short while before he died. Imagine even while he was dying. Just a short while before he died, he looked at me from the hospital bed and said, why don't you get rid of that pouch? He was on his deathbed. He was still correcting his children. God. Boys went on to say, I gave reference to my father, and he has actually capitalized here. I said, I was afraid not to. I gave reference to my father, and I was afraid not to. He would have taken a belt to me if I dared to disobey. He tried to teach me anything that would help me in life. I was thumped on the back 1,000 times and told to straighten up. He insisted that I take my... this one is funny. He insisted that I take my elbows off the table and stop eating like an animal. Have you ever told your children like that? You know the way you sit like this on the table? Get off your hands! Just remove your elbows from the dining table. Stop eating like an animal. He never hesitated to tell me to wash my face, comb my hair, brush my teeth, or shine my shoes. Sometimes he would say, you act like you fell out of a hickory nut tree on your head. Or worse, he would say, you'd have to go to summer school before they would let you in an insane asylum. My God. Those are words. This is a real story, by the way. A real story of a father who was actually dying, and actually he died. And these are the words, the fond memories that this daughter has about his father. You see? Wow. And I'm glad you're saying that was not my father, but it was somebody's dad. A man by the name of Jim Burton said this was about being a father. When I was young, baseball was my life. You can imagine the excitement I felt when my oldest son began playing. This game would be one of our main bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great baseball player. Learning to read curveballs, shift his body weight with a swing, steal bases, turn double plays, these things separate the amateurs from the pros, so the father told the youngster. Burton said, a pattern developed in our relationship. Because of my familiarity with the game, I saw every mistake my son made. In addition, I knew how to correct them. So post-game drives on our way home became a critique of how to improve his game. It soon got hold of my son. One night, he finally said, Dad, could you not start telling me everything I did wrong? No, could you not start by telling me everything I did wrong? Tell me what I did right first. Brethren, I urge you, when you talk about your children in terms of their mistakes, look for some things that they did right. I know every child has unique giftings and a blessing that the Lord has given them. Look them. If they don't have many of them, it might really get into their, so to speak, closet. Look for something positive and use them first to encourage your children. Amen? They will remember the positive and not the wrongs. Anybody who brings you negativity has an ability to crush you down. Nobody wants to be demoralized by negativisms. You want somebody who will always come and encourage you so that you can go the next step, because nobody is perfect. Praise be to God. A dad is supposed to be a coach, not a critic. A good father, a very, very good father, is supposed to be a coach. And I want to ask you this day, are you a coach? A coach is supposed to to see the limitations of a player, of anybody that he is coaching, and he is supposed to note the weaknesses, but go around those weaknesses in a nice way, or come to those, or handle those weaknesses in a way whereby it will not bring demoralization. It will bring kind of a way of reckoning of this person, knowing, oh, first of all, my dad loves me before he is a critic. Yeah? You know, there's a way you can go around a weakness by showering somebody with the praise. Have you ever seen even people who come, every time they talk about you is negativity? You know, they talk negativity. Why is this basket? Why can't you make a nice basket? Why is the speakers around? Why are these chairs are so dirty? Why are you negativity? Why can't you say, this is a nice church? I love coming to this church. Even though we don't have anybody, this is a nice place. I enjoy the AC. Even when there's no AC, I enjoy the breeze. Hallelujah. Be a person who is negative, not every time seeing negative every time. You're not made out of negativity. If God really, if everybody would be negative, where would we be, man? Are you listening to me? Number three, thankful for being a godly model. And by this I mean setting a godly illustration for life, even for your children. First Corinthians chapter number 11. Can you go there? And we'll just be able, we are just about to conclude right now. First Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse number one. Can somebody who finds it read it? Praise be to God. This is Paul admonishing the Corinthians, and he is telling them, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Notice that Paul does not tell the Corinthians to imitate him in all that he does. Why? Because he is a man like them. And there are certain things that he does wrong, right? So he is telling them to imitate him as he imitates Christ. In other words, see the life of Christ in me. See the character that resembles Christ in me and imitate. Do those things that you find that imitate the character of Christ in me. That is what Paul is admonishing the Corinthians. Because he is still a human being, he doesn't want them to follow everything that he does, because he is also an imperfect man. There are some things that I've done in life that I do not want my children to do. And I know you can apply this. There are some things when I remember what I've done, surely I wouldn't even want my children to know what I did, because I wouldn't set a negative model to them. And I'm also proud for some things that I've set in my life for my children. Like, for example, you know, coming to church every single Sunday. It is something that I've instilled in my children that, you know what, come Sunday, it is a good thing for us to go to the house of God and worship God. Set a good example. Praise be to God. Certain things that will resemble the character of Christ we need to instill into our children. And we'll do this by leaving them, and so that the children can see. Now, listen to this story and we are going to be done. One man said, when I was a teenager, Dad would come in my room and say, come on, kid, let's go. Where? He would ask. And the dad would say, to Lucy. Now, listen to this. Once a month, Dad would visit Lucy Butchko, a woman whose body was twisted and pinned into a wheelchair by arthritis. He would reach his big arms around her frail body, and lift her out of the wheelchair and place her in the front seat of our brown station wagon. Then they would fold the wheelchair, throw it in the back, and drive Lucy to the monthly communion service for shut-ins. Dad was a vice president of a publishing company who shadowed shut-ins. Later, while in the hospital trying to recover from a massive heart attack, my dad found out that a family down the street didn't have enough money to buy groceries, so he wrote them a check, and it was the last thing he ever wrote, and a lasting lesson for me. Praise be to God. Listen here to another illustration. Here's another. One man said of his father, once when I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for the circus. For the circus. You know circus? Where they have the animals and what have you. Finally, there was only one family between us and the ticket counter. This family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. You could tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were not expensive, but they were clean. Praise be to God. The children were well behaved, all of them standing in line two by two behind their parents. Holding hands, they were excitedly jabbering about the clowns, the elephants, and other acts they would see that night. One could sense they had never seen a circus before. It promised to be a highlight of their young lives. The father and the mother were at the end of their park, standing proud as could be. The mother was holding her husband's hand, looking up at him as if to say, "You are my knight in shining armor." He was smiling and basking in pride, looking at her. The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted. He proudly said, Let me buy 8 children's tickets and 2 adults' tickets so I can take my family to the circus." The ticket lady quoted the price. The man's wife let go of his hand. That happens all the time, yeah? The man's wife let go of his hand. Her head dropped and the man's lip began to quiver. The father leaned a little closer and asked, "How much did you say?" The ticket lady again quoted the price. The man didn't have enough money. How was he supposed to turn and tell his 8 kids that he didn't have enough money to take them to the only circus that they would ever attend in their lives? Seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand in his pocket and pulled out a $20 bill that we were supposed to pay for our tickets and dropped it on the ground. And we were not wealthy in any sense of the word. My father reached down, picked up the bill, and tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "Oh, excuse me, sir. I believe this fell out of your pocket." The man knew what was going on. He wasn't begging for a handout, but suddenly appreciated the help in a desperate, heartbreaking, embarrassing situation. He looked straight into my dad's eye, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed tightly onto the $20 bill, and with a quivering lips and a tear streaming down his cheek, replied, "Thank you. Thank you. This really means a lot to me and my family." The man telling the story about his father said, "My father and I went back to the car and drove home. We didn't go to the circus that night, but we didn't go without." Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That is so, so powerful. Very, very, very powerful. Thankful for providing a godly model. This young kid growing, knowing that, you know, it is not about me, but it is about other people. Amen? I know we've been in situations whereby you may have had just enough. But let me tell you, the next person next door may not even have anything. And the Lord is just wanting you to use you so that you can be a blessing to that man. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. What are we thankful to our dads? What did our dads do? I say to you guys, listen to me. Brothers and sisters, you may not have had a father who set out a good example. It might be too late for this day for you to go look for a dad this day so that you can honor them. But then come this Father's Day, the next one, start looking for a person, a father figure. It could be maybe a relative, a brother, your uncle. It could be maybe a church leader who can be who can act as a father figure. It is good every single time that fathers are honored that you not be left alone. Look for somebody that you can honor as a father. Lift up your right hand as we pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because this day, Lord, even as we celebrate fathers, you are the greatest father. Lord, you have looked at us even with imperfection, with the things that we have done wrong, even with the rejecting you and causing you to go to the cross. And Father God, even just as you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross, when we accepted him, Lord, you accepted us unconditionally. Father, you showered us with mercy. You showered us with grace.
And Lord, this day we are confident to say that we have been accepted in the Beloved. Not because of the work that we ever did, not because of an impression that we created to you, but just unconditionally loving us, Father, as you do to every human being. I pray, Father God, even as we treat and tend to our children, Lord, that we shall unconditionally love them, O Father. That we shall remember mercy when we are dealing with them. We shall remember grace when we are dealing with their imperfections, with their weaknesses. Lord, I pray that you shall cause us to be the best daddies ever there will be. And Father God, I want to speak a blessing to every father that is in this house. I speak a blessing, God, even to everybody who has a father in this house. And to those of us who may not really have a good person that we can call a father, I pray for them, Lord, that you shall lead them. Yes, God, lead them, Father God, into a person, a father figure who they can honor as a father. Lord, I pray for those who have good memories about what happened between a relationship and their fathers. Father, they will pick up the phone and call them and appreciate them. And for those who never have any legacy that they can remember about their fathers, I pray that, Father, they will begin to leave those things that they never received from their father as a way of honoring them, O God. Father, I thank you for this service today. Be there anybody who is sick in our midst, Lord, I pray that you shall stretch forth your hand and you shall heal them in the name of Jesus. And being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this place, you've never given your life to Jesus, and this meeting would never be complete if I never gave you a chance to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he knocks on the door of your heart. If only you could open up your heart, he would come in and dwell inside of you, and he would become the greatest father of all. Father God, is there anybody who has never given their life to Jesus? To receive Jesus is very easy. It's just believing in your heart that he died for you and that he was crucified, and now he sits at the right hand side of the Father. And when you confess with your mouth, you confess unto salvation. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we celebrate Father's Day today, I pray that, Father God, we shall honor our fathers. It could be biological fathers, it could be a spiritual fathers, it could be even fathers, men that have assumed that position of a father in our lives. I pray that this day that we shall honor them and be thankful for who they have been in our lives. Thank you, Father. I speak a blessing over this your children, to the glory and honor of your name. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to call Sister Noel so that we can give our offerings, and the kids, Wambui and Susie, wanted to sing.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for all those illustrations. I have not had a chance to laugh so hard in a sermon. But thank you so much for those things that you have told us. Brethren, things may not always have been light between you and your fathers. But blessed be the name of the Lord. You had a father and you've been able to come this far. And for those of us who are fathers now, you may not have done it all right, but bless the Lord, you have a chance to make up to your children. Amen. I want to tell you that my dad is passed on. He's going to be with the Lord. But every time as I make a major decision, I will tarry and ask myself, what would dad say if he was here today? So from all the things that he has said in my life, he has left a lasting impact in my life that I'll not do anything major without thinking, what would he say if he was here today? So those impacts that you will leave in the lives of your children is so precious and so important, and will take them a long way. So dads, hail again. You're doing the right thing. Keep going. Amen. It is time to give.